our man Mark Rogers has, you know, he pushed for Chris Paul to be first team All NBA and maybe even MVP. I don't know, but a very big Chris Paul fan, and Chris Paul is making Mark look like a genius during this playoff run because Gideon, have you ever seen a guy take over the fourth quarter like Chris Paul is doing on a regular basis? The man turns 37 this Friday, and he had another great one last night. What, 14 in the fourth quarter last night? Half of his points in that fourth quarter, had 28 overall. Chris Paul on an amazing run. And the Phoenix Suns, when they're shooting like that, guys, I mean, they're going to be hard for anyone to beat. But what are your thoughts, Marcus, on your man Chris Paul?
Brian Windhorst had some good stuff this morning on First Take on Chris Paul, talking about how he said basically he's covered the team and that he spends every day focused on being ready for the fourth quarter and just with meals and his routine on the bench at the end of the third quarter, getting ready to go into the game. And what the Suns are doing is amazing. I mean, that ties the Showtime Lakers for consecutive performances shooting over 50%. I mean, and the Mavs are no joke defensively. Like, they're
That's
very
right,
flawed
Gideon.
Offensively.
We bragged on the Mavs,
they're good
defense.
On defense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. When you watch the game last night, if you go back and watch almost, I don't know, maybe two-thirds of possessions, Dallas guards too far out on the perimeter. And so inevitably when you get by, whether it's a screen or just dribble penetration, nobody comes up. That second wave doesn't come up at all. And so, there's like 6-7 consecutive possessions where there's nobody from 20 feet to the restricted area. And that's where this team wants to get to. They want to shoot floaters. They want to shoot short jump shots. And so I thought it's been a strange disconnect for me to see what I saw from Dallas in the regular season to what I'm seeing right now. And part of that is that Phoenix is a really excellent offensive team, but just I don't agree with what Dallas is doing defensively. I think they're playing too far out on Phoenix so far, and you saw that. I don't care how good you are. You shouldn't be shooting 65% in a playoff game. And a lot of that was just because they just play too far out on these guys. And Phoenix was getting into the lane, getting layups, and also knocked down a really good percentage of their threes, which that can fluctuate a little bit. But, I mean, you look up and down the board, I don't think there was a guy on the team that didn't shoot 50% or way over for Phoenix last night.
No, there wasn't. We talked about that earlier, that everyone on the whole team shot at least 50%. Obviously, like you said, they're over 50% from three. And then, but guys, in the fourth quarter, 16 out of 19, that's over 84% in the fourth quarter of that game. That just doesn't happen. I mean, that's just incredible shooting. And Booker, the one question that we had, that I had about Phoenix, was when Booker got hurt, okay, is that going to linger on in the playoffs? And Booker, the first few games back, maybe wasn't that efficient and so forth. He was under 50%. Well, 11 out of 19, 5 for 8 from 3. After Chris Paul got going in the fourth quarter, well, Booker came in and finished him off with 3 threes in the fourth. But this looks like the real Devin Booker, Marcus, and so that's trouble for everyone else.
That is big trouble. That's big trouble for everybody else. I think that This series is Mavs home court to me doesn't mean, you know, a whole lot. So Phoenix is cruising right now.
This one, for instance, Craig, how many halftime shows did we do together where a team would be, playing pretty well within a couple of points or maybe even have a lead the way that Dallas did at halftime, and you look at that team and go, man, they are in a lot of trouble right now because they hit 10 threes in the first half. Everything was going in, and what, they were up by four or they were up by a basket at the break, and you just knew that wasn't sustainable for them. Anything can happen. It's the NBA after all, but I wasn't surprised to see them get down by 20 eventually. As good as they shot the ball in the first half, you just knew that wasn't going to continue, and defensively there were just too many breakdowns.
Well, from that standpoint, yeah, you look at it and go, well, Dallas had to be doing something right, because this was a three-point game in the fourth quarter. still a four-point game when, you know, even after Chris Paul started his run, Doncic answered with a 10-footer, and it was 92-88 at that point. Heck, it was still a six-point game with under 8.5 minutes to go, and then it went from six to over 20 just like that, and it was when Chris Paul was on that run of making six straight shots, and then it was game over. So, no, I mean, offensively, you can't beat what Phoenix is doing right now, and they're a good defensive team also. It's not like they just try to outscore people. I mean, Phoenix can mm-hmm. play some defense, but that's why Dallas shoots, knocks down 17 threes, shoots 41% from three, 20 for 24 at the line. Doncic is about, I mean, he can have games where, you know, he's not very efficient, but last night wasn't one of them. I mean, he's 13 for 22, 5 for 10 from 3, 4 for 5 from the line. He did have 7 turnovers, so we'll save that. He wasn't perfect, but still, it's just but how about Jason Kidd talking about his team and saying, Doncic had a great game, but no one else showed up.
Yeah. Well, that's probably,
I think it's
why
almost impossible
in this series, Mark, is because that's about as good. I know Luka put up 45, but that's about as good as he's going to shoot in games, especially from the perimeter. Dorian Finney-Smith can have a few more, you know, catch and shoot threes, and Brunson obviously has to play a lot better. But I don't know if you're going to get Doncic up to the level that he was in these first two games the rest of this series. And so I think there's probably a little bit of a give and take there, and it averages out to them being still beneath Phoenix.
Well, and I think also when you have that kind of ball dominance, it's just very hard to figure out what are the other guys' roles? You know, what do you do when Luka's doing that kind of stuff? And I think it's been tough for, you know, I just don't know that the Mavs are, to me, the best organization in terms of trying to figure out how they want to play. They've got a great player, but I think that they've got to figure out how to work better around Luka, because I don't know if it's just those other guys that they're just not doing anything. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that kind of offensive philosophy works.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, they got to get more from Brunson and Dinwiddie. And some people are saying, hey, you know, take the ball out of Luka's hands and get that ball. Reggie Miller, I think, or whoever was doing the game last night, was saying, put the ball into Brunson's hands more. But Brunson, man, he had that great run, and then now he was 3 for 12 in this one. Dinwiddie was only 3 for 10. I mean, obviously they're not going to beat Phoenix when those guys aren't on. So it goes back to Dallas. But, Marcus, you're not looking for Dallas to take two games at home, right?
Nope, I don't think so. I think it probably they get one.
Yeah, and it's a five-gamer.
And then it's a gentleman's sweep.
Gentlemen sweep. Gideon, is that what you see here?
Yeah, unless something really, really strange happens defensively for Dallas in the next two games, then I don't know if they even get one.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about what happened in Miami last night. And no surprise here, right, guys, because without Embiid, I don't think any of us expected the Sixers to beat Miami. But as we say, look at the three-point shooting, and that tells pretty much the whole story in this one. Philadelphia goes 8 for 30. That's, you know, just over 26%, while Miami, 14 for 29. The Heat are over 50% from overall and 48% from three, and they roll to the 119-103 victory. And so, Marcus, now the question is, will we even see Embiid in Game 3?
Well, he's got to go through. I mean, Doc said he's got to clear several protocols that he hasn't really cleared many. I would hope so. You know, Sixers just have played terrible. They have just not looked good at all. So I think you get Game 3. If you don't have him, you just kind of play off the home crowd, hit a bunch of shots, hope to get lucky, and then see what happens. But I think even with Embiid, I don't think that they're going to win this series.
Sixers really got screwed by the schedule here because, you know, they play last night, and then they have to play again tomorrow. Nobody's playing tonight. They have to play again tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Boston-Milwaukee series, Golden State-Memphis are a little bit more high profile. They want to put those games on ABC on Saturday, so they're getting 3 days off in between games where these teams only get two. And it's like what you said, Craig. When Doc Rivers brings up concussion protocol, he can play through the pain of all this other stuff. We don't know how effective he's going to be, and that would also be another big story, but you can't rush through concussion protocol, and somebody has to be there. You can't verify it yourself, and so and if he doesn't play game three, the thing that I looked at last night is not only are the Heat shooting three-pointers like they did in the bubble that 1 year, but also before Harden gets fouled on that three right before halftime, I think free throws were like 16-5 or something in the first half. That's Philadelphia's game. And so when you take away the strong suit of somebody's game and the thing that everything is based on, and that's getting guys in foul trouble, getting in the bonus, creating some more freedom for you offensively because of those other two things, then when that's all wiped out, you don't have a chance.
Well, and Victor Oladipo, that's another addition to the Heat, and it comes right at a time where they lose Lowry for a few games with a hamstring, and so they can just plug him in, get in, and I think he's as valuable on the defensive end as he is offensive end. But offensively, he knocks down three threes. He was 6-for-11, 19 points on only 11 shots. So when you got Hero and Oladipo scoring 37 just between the two of them off the bench, you know, that's it's just a deep, deep team where they can, you know, lose a Kyle Lowry and not miss a beat. And then they're so versatile, right, Marcus, where you got Adebayo and Tucker we've talked about that can switch and guard point guards. I mean, they're just so good defensively. So, I don't know. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Miami.
Well, I mean, and they're a lot more diverse just personnel-wise. They're playing a lot more guys than usually we see in a playoff series. But they do have a lot of interchangeable parts. But I think the challenge is for anybody, really, anyone, period, Suns included, is can you beat Giannis? I mean, can you do what it takes for him not to dominate the game in the paint to the point where you know, everything else kind of becomes easier for the Bucks?
Well, it looks like the Celtics might have found that formula. We'll see. I mean, because Giannis has gone 9-for-25 and what? What was it, 11-for-27 or whatever it was in the other game. But with the Sixers real quick, guys, what about James Harden? And Gideon, I want to get your thoughts on this too. Mm-hmm. But Maxey clearly is their best player so far in this series. He had 34 in the game last night. It wasn't that Harden was terrible with 20 points and 9 rebounds. But Marcus, James Harden is only – I mean – his contract is up after next year. He has not re-signed a new one yet. Are you going to throw $200-$250 million at him on a new extension?
Nope. No, I don't think so.
James,
I mean,
Harden?
And they were. I think that was being talked about today as well. That, you know, the idea for Philly to keep him. I think they're going to have to go to him and talk about a contract that's significantly less than any kind of max deal. And he's got only himself to blame.
Oh, he'll love hearing that.
Injury wise. What's that?
I said he'll love hearing that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know.
Injury-wise or just keeping himself in shape, I mean, he's lost a step. So I don't know if in the offseason, you know, he can get in better shape and then try to work. You know, he's a player's option this year, right? He's got a one-year player's
year,
option.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm saying is that he could try to get in shape and really try to really get in shape and prove that maybe he deserves some more money. But right now, I would say no.
What do you think, Gideon?
Yeah, he's kind of tailing off as the season went along. It's weird to say that about somebody who averaged 22, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds this year, that they wouldn't be worth that kind of money. But obviously, when teams have an opportunity to game plan for him, I think the question is, do you think that this is the right mixture, even with – James Harden, whose skills have been diluted by age and wear, that's going to lead you to an NBA championship. Because if Harden doesn't have to be capable of scoring 40 anymore for him to be the right player for that system in order for them to win. And right now, it's unfortunate they're not going to be able to get a clearer answer to that, because they're going to lose in this series because Embiid didn't play in it. And so, but that's the question. It's not whether James Harden's ability is worth such and such money. It's does he fit in with this team, and if that provides a championship formula in their minds, and they're going to have to answer that. I don't know.
And if they go at him, Merck, with some low-ball offer, I mean, like I said, he's an unrestricted free agent after next year. He can just go somewhere else. And then that trade,
right.
You know, everyone was acting like that trade was really lopsided in favor of Philly at the start. We'll see on Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons is having back surgery today, so I was wrong about that being, you know, some phantom back injury before the last game. But anyway, it's very interesting on what happens after the season's over with James Harden, for sure.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.